Father, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I pray that the world would go silent right now, Lord, and that we would only hear your voice. Anything trying to distract, anything trying to catch our thoughts other than you and your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, I pray that it would just all be pushed aside, that we may focus only on you, Lord, and what your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every heart this morning. Father, may thy will be done now. With every heart, with every mind in this room, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 4 and go from there to Acts chapter 4. So either spot you want to turn to, a few verses in Proverbs, and then we'll be several verses in Acts chapter 4. Glad to be here this morning. Glad to be back. Missed you guys this last week, and it's good to be home. When I mean home, I mean here. It's good to be here. And Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." Are any of you bad about not listening closely? I'm kind of bad sometimes about not listening closely. And my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. You know, when I listen closely is when it's something that matters to me, something that's important. If somebody's trying to tell me how to fix something, how to fix a problem, how to go a certain way, but I'm real bad about tuning stuff out real quick. I'll even get on the phone with a customer, and he'll be giving me directions, and when I figure out a general area of where he's trying to send me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. And then all at once I start tuning him out, and I'm terrible because I've even hung up the phone, and I'll go, oh no, I tuned out the last, which house was it? Because I know where he's talking about, so I just begin to tune him out. But God's saying, listen closely to what he's saying. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. That's keep his word in your heart. Don't let it out of sight. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And this last verse here that I just read is a heart that is what I really want to talk about this morning, is guarding your heart. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how often do we really, really guard our heart? Do we really, really guard what's coming in? You know, I know people that's been hurt in relationships that's maybe been through a bad divorce or a bad breakup or something like that, and they guard their heart so much that they never are willing to open up to let anybody else in. That hurt, that pain was just too bad, so they guard their heart. They don't trust anybody. They don't want to get in another relationship. But I think oftentimes many of us, we're not really guarding our hearts of what we're allowing in our lives, what we're allowing to sink in, what we're allowing our eyes to see, what we're allowing our ears to listen to. In the King James Version, this verse says, keep the heart with all diligence. And when I looked up diligence, it says a place of confinement, a prison, guard, jail, guard port, watch, observance, jail, prison. And so when I was thinking about that, I was thinking like a prison. You're to guard your heart like it's a prison. And you know, I've only delivered to the jails a few times, but there's a jail down by Tallahena, and I've delivered there before. And when you go in, there's guards that have a gate. You have to show them your ID. You have to show them your information. They look at all your paperwork. Sometimes they'll even open up your truck and they look in the back and they look at everything, and then they drive you to a certain part of the jail, and I'd back up and there's a guard standing there with his gun, and then there was inmates and they'd come and start unloading the stuff. But everything that came off my truck to deliver there, they were watching. They were making sure that I wasn't bringing in any contraband. They were making sure that I wasn't trying to sneak in a weapon or something like that. You think about that with our heart, and we have an enemy that is always trying to slip in contraband. That's always trying to slip something through the cracks. You know, sometimes I'll deliver to the Air National Guard up there or to Fort Chaffee. And the last time I actually went to Fort Chaffee, we were on a high alert and I got nervous and I wasn't even doing anything wrong, but they inspected my truck so close. Because they don't want a terrorist sending a bomb to them on FedEx. They don't know if I'm a terrorist or not. They don't know me. So they were checking me out before they allowed me into the base. Are we checking things out? I mean, really, are we guarding our heart? You know, there's so many things that we allow into our life. There's so many thoughts, there's so many worldly pleasures that we allow into our lives. And then when our lives are messed up and we're kind of messed up, and then we wonder why. And we pray to God, God deliver me, God help me. When I think sometimes God's going, you allowed that. You allowed that. You opened up the gate. You're the one that let that into your life. So now let's go to Acts chapter 4. And you guys might be, when we begin to read this, you might go, Pete, where are you going? But I hope I can bring it all together. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. I'm going to be reading quite a bit in here if you guys want to flip there with me. Acts 4, 32. And it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. How wonderful would that be to have a mentality, to have a heart, that we're really just all in one accord and that we're all really willing to share, and there's no greed, there's no resentment, there's no jealousy. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy person among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. I mean, they had it going on, didn't they? That is amazing. That is great. And to me, you know, I don't see that in today's church at all, where people are really, really willing to give all. And so this model that they had here was wonderful. And of course, the church was growing. And maybe we should really look at this as an example for how we ought to be today. But guarding your heart, okay? Because as wonderful as things was, they still had an enemy, Satan, coming in. Here, chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Okay, so now what he did wasn't necessarily wrong, and we'll read some more of that in a minute. But what he was doing was he was presenting himself like, I've sold this land, and I'm bringing all to you all. You think about, how did Satan penetrate there? The greed, selfishness, a desire, of pride, of wanting to praise from other men, wanting praise of saying, I sold it and I'm giving it. There's all different areas there was all different things going on there, because you think he was trying to present himself just as Barnabas was, as selling everything and giving it, but there was the crack of Satan saying, hold a little bit back for yourself. Do you really want to give it all? Of jealousy, of greed, a desire, a selfishness. The selfishness, and in my notes here, I guess I preached on this a long time ago, but it says lack of faith, greed, lying. There was a lack of faith of trusting that if he did give all, that God would still provide, that God would take care. Because isn't that it? A lot of times we're scared to give all because we're scared, what if? What if something happens? If I give all my money to Casey, well then next week I got a problem. What am I going to do? Is someone going to give me? And we don't trust. We don't trust. We don't have enough faith that God can provide. Then Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" See what he says? Satan has so filled your heart. Church, we have to begin to guard our hearts. And when I say guarding our hearts, that begins with even our thoughts. The thoughts of holding back. The thoughts of the praise from everybody. Oh, look at how wonderful Ananias is. He sold his land. Ananias is great. Ananias is wonderful. But Satan got a hold of him. And he says, how is it that he's not only, that he's got you to not just lie to us, but you lied to the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, "Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing that you have not lied to men, but to God?" See, there it was. It was his money. It was his land. So it was obvious that it was the intent of deceiving people, like he was more holier or more righteous than what he was. The land was his. He said, you could have done what you wanted with it. But the Holy Spirit, what apparently it said, sell it and give all. There was a crack. And Satan come in and deceived him and filled his heart with a lie. We have to be so careful and guard our hearts. Verse 5 says, "When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened." That's scary. You know, to think the power of God fell in that time the way that it did. To think, if that happened today, how differently would we live? How more closely would you guard your words, what you said, your actions? To be on the brink of knowing that lying to God, lying to men, lying to the Holy Spirit, walking in disobedience, that God would just say, enough's enough, and snuff you out. How different would your life be? Would you be way more cautious in the way that you spoke, in the way that you acted? Then the young men came forward, wrapped his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I'm not trying to scare y'all this morning, but I'm trying to get you to understand the importance of guarding your heart. The importance of the life that you're living. Ephesians 6:11 and 12 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Satan is very real today, and he's still scheming. He's still doing everything he can to destroy you. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." I know I've shared this story before, but it's probably been 5 years ago or so that there was a shooting on a Wednesday night down in in Texas at a church, and it was a youth event, and the shooter come in and just started shooting people. And a man stood up. He was a young man. I think he was in his early 20s, and faced the shooter dead on and began to rebuke him and began to speak against what he was doing. And the man ended up sitting down and laying down his gun. And you think of spiritual warfare that was going on at that moment. He wasn't standing with a gun pointed back at the gunman. He was standing in the power of the Lord. And it was a new Christian. He'd only been a Christian a short time, but he had the boldness and the power to stand against the devil's schemes. Church, it's very real, the battle that's going on for me and you. I feel it. I feel it every day. This week, sitting at home, not being able to do anything, and there was times, there was moments that I just had to open up a devotional, that I had to open up my word because I was struggling with my thoughts. And I just said, Lord, I need help. I'm struggling. And I could feel myself going in the wrong direction. The battle is real. Are we going to be able to take our stand against the devil's schemes? James 1, 14 and 15 says, but each one is tempted by his own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Do we understand that our evil desires, that we're tempted and that we're dragged away? So we have to guard our heart. We have to guard. What are we desiring? What are the things that's enticing us? What are the things that we're longing for? And that little desire that you are just playing with and messing with a little bit, and then all at once that gives birth to sin. And then all at once you're in the middle of a sin and you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? But you continue and you continue, and then it says sin gives birth to death. Sin destroys us. Satan wants to destroy us. What are the things that you are desiring? What are the things that capture your heart? What are the things that captures your mind? I know what captures mine is not always godly. It's not always in accordance with the Lord. I struggle. I struggle with issues. This week, I kept badgering my wife. I finally convinced her. I found a used car. We're going to go buy this car. We're going to get a loan big enough to take care of some of these bills. We're going to go buy this car. We've saw this car for sale for 4 weeks. It was a great deal. I finally wore her out. She said, okay, we'll go get it. That was Thursday night. But when I laid down, I kind of started getting a check in my spirit. And I said, Lord, if it's not your will, let that car be gone. I'm not lying. We saw that car for sale for at least 4 weeks, if not longer. I called Friday morning. They said, you're not going to believe this. I sold that car yesterday. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm pushing, because my desire is for this. Instead of just stopping, checking my heart, checking my motives, and saying, God, I trust in You. You open up the door. You close the door. Thy will be done. How many of us, though, that we just keep going and going and going, never taking stock of what is our desire? What are the things that we're chasing after so hard? Is it really line up with God's will? Jeremiah 6, I can get flipped there. Jeremiah 6, verse 19 says, let me find it. Hear, O earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. I want you to think about that. That God's saying that He's going to bring disaster on these people because the fruit of their schemes, they have not listened to the word and have rejected his laws. How do we think that we're going to stand? How do we think we're going to make it through? Verse 13 in Jeremiah 6 says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. And when I was reading this and I was thinking about all are greedy, all are after great gain, all practice deceit. And I was thinking about, in my heart, do I allow deceit? Am I deceptive in things? Am I greedy for great gain? When we read in Acts, what did it say? The people sold all they had, that no one was in need. How many of us would really be willing to do that today? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying, how many of us would really have that heart of not wanting anyone in need? You know, it's not just in our wealth either. It's in our abilities. It's in our talents. When we have abilities, when we have talents, yet we sit back and do nothing, knowing that there's needs, knowing that there's ministries in need, knowing that there's people that's shut-ins that have needs, knowing that there's needs all around us, but we're greedy. We want our lives satisfied. We want to satisfy our needs and our desires. We don't care about those kids. We don't care about those elderly. We don't care, just as long as it's not affecting me. You know, we get so caught up in our money and our wealth and even preaching on the great gain in there, but where is our desire to see God's will be done in every area? They all practice deceit. Verse 14, they dress their wounds of my people as though it were not serious. In other words, they overlook sin as if it's not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they not ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. It says they do not even know how to blush. Peace, peace, but they have no peace. And you know what? Today, I think in many hearts, in many lives, we're walking around with our Christian face on and our Christian smile on, but our hearts are far from God, and we really don't have that peace. Because we're not guarding. We're not watching what's coming in. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are the things that you treasure? Your family? I hope so. Your job? You probably should to a certain extent. But do we treasure the things that are going to matter for eternity? The thing that no one can steal from us, the things that no one can take from us, the things that weather and age can't destroy? You know, Hayden's truck was my truck, and I bought that truck right before Hayden was born. And I've taken good care of that truck. I've waxed it, I've washed it. I don't have a garage, so it's not been garage kept, but I've taken really good care of it. I've not abused it. But do you know what? The truck, the seat's got a rip in it, and it's sitting kind of low. The roof is turned grayish color because the sun has baked off the paint. The gas mileage has went way down from what it used to. It sputters a little bit here and there. Even though I've taken care of that truck and even though I haven't abused that truck, it's wearing out. It's getting old. It's been a good truck, but time has taken its toll on that truck. Now, if my heart's desire was for that truck, I'd be disappointed because it's fading away quickly. but where my heart's desire is on you guys, upon all these little kids that just went to the back. My heart's desire is upon doing my Father's will in things that matter for eternity. See, it doesn't matter if it's something that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or if it's something from last week. God's keeping a record. God knows what I'm doing for the kingdom of God, and the moth and rust won't destroy it. But where is my heart at? Are the things of God the things that I really desire each and every day? Or am I walking around going, peace, 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 and I really have no peace, and I've got no shame and sin, and I can't even blush anymore at it because I'm so used to sin now? Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You know, that's a very real prayer that God will answer this morning for me and for you. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This morning, I really would like for you to ask yourselves, what have I been allowing in? Do I have that pure heart? You know, I don't care if you say you've been a Christian for 50 years or if you've been a Christian 2 weeks. How is your heart? Have you been guarding it? Maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you haven't been guarding your heart with diligence. Maybe this should be your prayer this morning. God, create in me a pure heart. I promise you, God will answer you. If you're serious, if you mean business. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, familiar text here. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. I don't want to preach a whole sermon on this, but Cain did not give God his best. That was the problem. He just brought God some, but he didn't give God his best. God wants your best this morning. He wants you to guard your heart. He wants your best. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." There it is. Sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at my door today. It's crouching at your door. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world. The devil is always scheming, looking for cracks in our armor, looking for how he can tempt you with Ananias and Sapphira. What was it? It was greed. It was not walking in obedience. It was praise from men. I don't know, but Satan found a crack. He found a way to get in. And can I tell you, he's looking for a way to get into your life today. We have to be diligent as a prison guard, as we're guarding a prison. Prison, watching and weighing what is coming in. Is it good? Is it bad? You must master it. Those thoughts, those desires, they're going to come. But are you going to master it? Are you going to be able to be overcomers? Create in me a pure heart, O God. I'm almost done. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says, "For physical training is of some value, you know, I don't do physical training like I used to. I used to really enjoy working out. I used to want to work out, and now I don't really want to. Just gonna be honest. But I used to get convicted because I was more worried about my muscles and my physical appearances than I was about the inward. You know, physical training is of some value, but can I ask you, are you spending more time with your physical than your spiritual? For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Did you hear that? And for this we labor and we strive. There's work. There's work involved. Let's read on. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. But this is it, okay? But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. See, we need to be guarding our hearts, and we need to be setting an example in the life that we live, in the speech, in the love, in the faith, and in the purity for all those around us. And we can't do it if we're allowing all the garbage of the world, we're allowing all the devil's schemes to enter into our hearts, to enter into our mind. I can't be an example for anybody when I'm meditating, when I'm thinking, when I'm allowing Satan to come into my life. We want to see this church fall apart real quick. I allow Satan to get the better of me. And watch and see. I need y'all's prayers. But you know what? We need to be praying for each other too, because it's important, if not just as important, that you all are living the life that it just said, setting the example. Setting the example in the way that you conduct yourself. Setting an example. You know, the other day there was a movie on, I can't even remember what it was, and it kept cussing, and I said, I don't even like hearing that garbage. You know why? Because I hear that, and then you know what happens? That's what comes in my mind. If I'm at work or if I'm doing something, all at once one of those words pop in my mind, and I'm going, where did that come from? I don't talk like that. Do you know what? I allow it. And if I don't take care of it, then before long, I will be talking like that. Why? Because the desire gives birth to sin, and the sin gives birth to death. We have to be so careful. We have to guard our hearts. I'm going to end with this. And I was trying to decide. Some of y'all got a devotional from me or my wife. My wife showed me this devotional yesterday, and I thought it went perfectly with where we need to end. How do we guard our hearts? Okay? How do we guard our hearts? And I thought that these few verses here sums it up beautifully. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We want to guard our hearts. We need to live out that verse. We need to live that out. Those are the things that we need to be striving for. Those are the things that need to be our desire, not the things of the world. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you looking forward to that treasure in heaven someday? Or are you striving and laboring for that truck that's going to rust in a few years like my old red truck's doing? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us right now would begin to examine our hearts, begin to examine what we've been allowing in our life. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak. Lord, that our thoughts, that our minds would not be distracted right now, but you'd begin to speak to each one of us individually. Lord, maybe there's something we need to go home and throw it in the garbage. Maybe there's something that we need to get out of our home. Maybe there's something, Lord, in our life that is that is contaminating us. The devil has found a crack in our armor, Lord, that he's seeping into our hearts, that he's seeping into our mind. It's jealousy, it's anger, it's resentment, it's pride. It's something, Lord. There's some sin creeping in of our own evil desires. Maybe right now, Lord, that we need to pray. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to repent, Lord, and we begin to pray, Lord, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart this morning, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that for myself. Lord, as I've allowed so many times the devil to get into my mind, to get into my thoughts. Father, I pray right now that You would create in me a pure heart. And I pray that for this entire congregation, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would bring it to our attention as soon as something's not right, as soon as we're allowing contraband into our heart. Lord, that we'd cut it off, that we wouldn't allow it any longer. Father, I pray for Your direction, for Your guidance, for Your strength. Lord, that each and every one of us might live and be that example to those around us of love, of life, of purity, of righteousness. Lord, this week is... as the temptations, as the trials, as the enemy's schemes come, may we remember Philippians 4:8 and meditate on those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, those things that are praiseworthy, that we would automatically take our minds to those thoughts. Lord, Your Word says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. I pray for each and everybody in here for strength to be able to resist, to be able to stand firm. Lord, that there would be that true peace, that true heart of repentance right now, and everyone in here. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, if you need strength this morning, if you need a fresh touch from God, maybe there's someone brought to your mind, maybe there's a tough decision that you need to make, I'd be more than honored to pray with you. The altars are open.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. All day long.
I encourage you to come tonight, even if you and don't have anything to bake or cook or whatever, just come and we're just going to hang out and fellowship, have a good time together and eat. And so 6:30 tonight, we'll be back in the gym, but can't cook anything, bring a 2-liter or just show up, but we're just going to hang out and have a good time of fellowship. And I think it's important that we spend time together and just visiting and hanging out. So I encourage you to be here tonight, 6:30, for that. Have a blessed afternoon.